Welcome to the Vincent Moreland Show, More Land, More Sports. Carwin Towns, Davey Lynn, and I make our predictions for the NFL divisional round in 2021. Enjoy the show. And welcome to the Vincent Moreland Show, More Land, More Sports. Davian, how are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I hear you loud and clear, bro.
Great. It's great to be here, man. How you doing?
Good, good. Haven't had you on all season long, Dave, but I'm happy to have you on here.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Of course. Carwin, welcome back.
Hey, this is happening. Glad to be back. Sorry, I know I missed the Week 17 predictions, but it's good to be back for another round of the Moreland Show.
It's all good. It's all good. All right, gentlemen, we got some division games this weekend. A lot of good matchups rolling out. I'm very excited for it. Oh my goodness. Damn, it's 43-37 right now for this Miami-Philly game. The game just started. Uh-oh. That under's not looking too good. Jeez, oh boy. Anyway, we got the Ravens traveling to Buffalo. Buffalo's a 2.5-point favorite to Vegas. Over-under's 49.5. I hate to say it, and you know, I think every time I predict the Ravens to lose, they always seem to win. And then when I predict them to like win, they lose. So I'm gonna predict them to lose again this week. I think the Bills are gonna pull it out late. I hope I'm wrong, but I think they have what it takes to stop the Ravens. Barely though, I think the Ravens will keep it a close game, but I don't know how the weather's going to be and whatnot. I think the weather's kind of a factor that's being a little bit talked about too much. But I mean, you know, when people don't play in certain conditions often, it's an experience that you're not used to. So I can see where people factor in the weather all the time. I mean, I've seen like the Rams and the Bears when they play in Chicago. You know, the Rams' offense would play awful, and then like when they play in LA, their offense would play much better. So I don't know, but like, you know, Lamar, he's played in cold temperatures before, so you know the cold temperature shouldn't be a factor. But if it is snowing this weekend in Buffalo, then you know that might be weird. But I don't know. I'm sure he's had to play in some type of snow. Probably not when he was at Louisville, but you would think maybe, you know, he's used to that cold weather, so it shouldn't really affect it that much. I'm gonna go with Buffalo in this game. Zach Moss is on injured reserve. They just picked up Devontae Freeman. I'm sure Singletary will be the lead back, but he probably won't even be too much of a factor anyway. Even though he was last year though. But yeah, give me the Bills on this one. I think it's gonna be not high scoring, but I don't think it's going to be the lowest of scoring either. I'm going to go 23-20 Buffalo. Davian?
Alrighty, well, 23-20 on Buffalo. I mean, personally, I do like this matchup. You know, you get to see two grit and grind teams. You know, both teams definitely rely on the quarterback a lot in this game. However, the matchup that, or I should say the X factor for the Bills, I think, is going to be very important, is seeing how Stephon Diggs does versus Marlon Humphrey. I'm very excited to see that. You know, Marlon Humphrey, you know, he's definitely top five in the league at the defensive back position. And Stephon Diggs, you know, he's shown that he was wide receiver number one, you know, and he's been doing all season long against the best that the league's had to offer, and he's always showed up. One thing that I think is very important, apart from just that wide receiver and cornerback matchup, is just how can Lamar Jackson change the game for the Ravens? I mean, personally, the Bills' defense, they're very tough defense to beat, you know, and you know, that's on both sides. Like, you know, their front seven and on the back end and their secondary, they're very tough. So with that being said, if Lamar Jackson could definitely impact the game using his legs and also that arm talent that we know he has, then I feel as if the Ravens can win. And I'm going to go with the Ravens on this one. I think it's going to be a grit and grind game. I'm going to go 17-20 on this game, Ravens way. I think that Justin Tucker puts in the last-minute field goal just to give him that edge there. And it's very important to understand that, you know, if the defenses for both these teams show up, you could see a very, very interesting game by both these quarterbacks because they both can use their legs. They're both good improvisers. And, of course, both these coaches, they know how to attack weaknesses. So I look forward to this game. It's very important.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Carwin?
Yeah, it's going to definitely be a close game between two very well balanced teams. The Bills is definitely going to sway more on the outcome of their passing offense as their rushing offense doesn't garner much respect or attention. They're going to – Zach Moss is on IR, so they got left as Singletary and T.J. Yeldon, and they didn't really have much of a run game to speak of anyways. So it's definitely going to come down to their passing offense for the Bills, whereas the Ravens, Lamar can run it, Dobbins can run it, Gus can run it. So they're not as – one-dimensional of the team as the Bills, but the Bills definitely have a more respectable defense than the Titans do, and it came down to the wire to the second half for the Ravens to close it up against the Titans. So they're gonna have to play Lamar's definitely gonna have to play better than what he did last week to beat a team like the Bills, and I think the Bills are gonna come away with the win. I say it's gonna be I'll go 26-20 Bills.
All right. And I remember these two teams, they just played each other last year, not in the playoffs, but they played last year in a regular season. Very, very good game. Final score was 24-17. It was December 8th, 2019. That game was at Buffalo, too. Hayden Hurst scored a touchdown. Nick Boyle scored a touchdown. And I think... who else scored in that game? Willie Snead scored. But that game did not feature Stephon Diggs, so that's going to be a big difference for Josh Allen. Josh Allen, when he played that game last year, he went 17 for 39, 146 yards, one touchdown, got sacked six times, had a QBR of 16, rating of 60.6. Singletary had 89 yards on the ground, but this is a much improved Josh Allen. You know, yeah, the leading receiver was one catch for 37 yards. Josh Allen fumbled twice that game, and he didn't throw an interception. Lamar, he went 16 for 25, 145 yards passing, three touchdowns, one interception, sacked once, had 40 rushing yards. So, and then Josh Allen only had 9 yards. So last year, these two teams ran the ball. The two quarterbacks, they only combined for 49 yards, but I think it'll be higher a little bit this time. I can see Lamar getting maybe 70 or 80 yards rushing. He might break one. I don't know for a touchdown, but he might find a couple of holes and find some gaps in the creases and whatnot. But, a much improved Josh Allen. And before this year, Josh Allen didn't even have a 300-yard passing game. And he's had a lot this year. Him getting Stephon Diggs has been tremendous. I always thought that Stephon Diggs for a first-round pick was a little too much, but I was proven wrong. Definitely proven wrong. All right, I'm going to move on now to the Rams. I'll move on to the Rams-Green Bay. I'll be honest, this is a game I'm not really looking forward to watching. I just don't like watching the Rams play. Spread 6.5. Favor of the Packers, over under 45.5. John Wolford's ruled out, so Jared Goff will definitely be starting this game. The Packers, they're just on fire, man. They haven't lost in a while. When's the last time they lost? When they played against Indianapolis in that overtime game, they lost 34-31. And then other than that, they've been pretty much lights out offensively. Defensively, they've been playing pretty well too. They gave up 16, 14, 16, 24, 16 over the last five games, albeit against not so good opponents. Besides, Tennessee, Chicago's not bad, but I think they kind of got lucky with Arizona and whatnot. But yeah, I got the Packers winning this game. I think this game or the Chiefs game will have the biggest margin between the two teams, in my opinion. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be. It'll probably be like a grit and grind game for like the first three quarters. But I can see the Packers slowly but surely pulling away. And I'm going to go with the Packers on this one. I know the Rams defense has been red hot, but Packers offense has been red hot as well. Give me the Packers on this one. I'm going to go 27-17.
Okay.
I'll just do the same order. Do Davian and then Carwin for the rest of the game.
All right. So, all I have to say is this. I personally, I'm not a fan of either of these teams, but what I am a fan of is a good game plan. And I personally think that Jalen Ramsey and Devontae Adams, another wide receiver and defensive back matchup, is going to be the most watched thing of this game. Reason why? That's Aaron Rodgers' favorite target, so I'm going to put the best corner in football on him. And I'm not talking about best corner in football by stats. I'm just talking my reputation. We're talking Jalen Ramsey here. He is what I call an eraser. There's very few eraser corners in the league. Gilmore's one of them. Ramsey's one of them. Alexander's one of them. And I will even say Marlon Humphrey, he can take out a number one receiver as well. And then honorable mentions, guys like Xavier Howard that are just good at, reading the quarterback and making plays on the ball. But my whole point is here, the Rams defense is no joke. David Bakhtiari is not playing this game. Yes, their offensive line has blocked well, but can they block well enough to stop a guy like Aaron Donald and that front seven? You're not just talking about Aaron Donald, who's going to come into this game as the team leader in sacks. You're talking about, you got Leonard Floyd, Michael Brockers. We know what Michael Brockers does in the run game. We know what Leonard Floyd does coming off the edge. We know who Aaron Donald is. And not to mention, Aaron Rodgers will have to take an extra second in the pocket with Jalen Ramsey covering his best target. Then you got a couple ball hawks in the secondary. You got John Johnson back there. Taylor Rapp's going to be playing in the box to watch out with run game. You have guys like Darius, some slot corner they have.
Not Darius Slay.
His name is Darius something.
Darius Williams.
Yeah, Darius Williams. He's a baller. You got a lot of guys back there that are able to do things in the pass game. And not to mention, you also got their free safety, Burgess. He's really good. I like watching him play. And so with that being said, it's definitely going to be an interesting game for sure. Okay. And with that being said, I just wanted to let you know that I have the Rams taking this game because defenses are the ones that are going to bring them to the promised land. The Rams, if they can muster up a great running attack, I don't think the Packers have enough to stop them. And not only that, Jared Goff, if he's feeling good and that hand's feeling better, then I feel as if, Robert Woods, and I hope Cooper Kupp's playing. I'm not too sure his status, but I think that they'll be just enough to give him enough points. I say if they score 20 in this game and they can keep the Packers from scoring any touchdowns early on, I feel like they can hold the lead and come out with a W on this one on the NFC Championship. I see this as an upset special.
Wow. What's your score, Dave?
I have their score coming in at about, I'm going to do the same thing like I did with the Ravens, but it's going to be a little different. I got 23-14.
Think the Rams will hold the Packers 14?
I think their defense is good enough. Like I said, it all depends on how the run defense plays in that game personally for me. And if Jalen Ramsey is really the eraser that I think he is on the field, I don't think those other guys are going to be able to help Aaron Rodgers out in the pass game enough to put up more than that, especially if the run game is contained.
Okay, that's interesting, Dave. Yeah, Rams, they have, I'm trying to pull up, so they've allowed 27, 9, 20, 3. Wow, okay. I'm trying to see, like, they gave up 35 to Buffalo, they gave up 23 to San Francisco, 24 to Tampa Bay, 16, 17, 28, 10. Okay, all right, that's fair. I just feel like, I don't know what the lowest points are. I think the lowest point total the Packers have had was against like the Buccaneers or something like that.
And I will say again, like I said, depending on how the run game goes, if the Rams can contain the run game, you know, especially with Aaron Donald back in the mix and missing David Bakhtiari, there's a lot of negatives going for that that Packers front that I don't think that they'll be able to control the Rams front seven. You need that all-star left tackle just to secure Aaron Rodgers' blind side. And you absolutely need a run game in this game to succeed and come out with the W, because if you don't get the run game started early on and the Rams start being able to come after Rodgers, I don't think this is going to be a pretty one.
Mm-hmm. Lowest point total for the Packers this year is 10 against Tampa Bay. The second fewest they've scored this year is 22 against Minnesota. Any other time they've scored at least 24 points or more in 14 games. Okay. I mean, you know, sometimes offenses that, you know, you think they click all season long and then they just collapse. Kind of like the Ravens offense. They were scoring a lot of points per game last year, and they only put up 12 in a playoff game, so.
All right. And you also got to take into account, if the Rams start running the football, they're going to eat the clock. They know who the better team is. It's just strategic game planning. Keep the ball out of Rodgers' hands. And I feel like that's the way to go. Defense and, you know, time of possession.
All right. Carwin?
Yeah, this game's going to definitely boil down to the running game for the Rams. I'm not entirely sure how healthy Goff is going to be with his hand. But it seemed to limit him a pretty fair amount last game. So you're going to definitely live or die with the running game when it comes to the Rams against Green Bay. And, you know, that iconic matchup is definitely going to be Devontae and Ramsey. But let's say Ramsey is able to, you know, lock up Devontae, which I don't think he will. But let's not forget that Rodgers has played a good amount of games without Devontae. And, you know, he's still been able to produce and give the team the win that they need. So even though he say he may not have Devontae when he's looking for him, he can get it to Tanyan. A. Jones can catch out of the backfield. Even though Valdez Scantling struggles with drops at times, he can still catch a deep ball here and there. Lazard is good when he's fully healthy, and he seems like he's getting healthier as time goes on. And just Rodgers, he's had such an MVP caliber year this year, he probably will be the MVP. So I just don't think that the Rams are going to be able to respond offensively with Goff hindering them at the quarterback position. And I just see Green Bay's offense ultimately getting the best of the Rams defense. And I got it being, let's say, 16-27 Green Bay.
Okay, so 27. Okay. Yeah, lowest catch total for Davante Adams this year is 3 catches, but that was a game that he got injured in. Second lowest would be 6 catches.
Yeah,
6 catches against the Bears. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Any other time, he's gotten at least 9 catches. I'm not so sure how much Ramsey's going to shut him down, but I'd have to look at stats on how Jalen Ramsey's done against, like, corners. I'm sure it's well. It's just,
yeah,
I haven't really watched the Rams enough to, like, know how good Ramsey's been doing.
He's been able to.
I know he didn't show up against the Jets.
Said it showed a stat where, you know, he's been able to shut down Hopkins. He even, you know, he limited Diggs to a bad game by his standards. So he has some good matchups that he's won under his belt.
Yeah. Yeah, but like you guys alluded to, I think more people are excited to see Devontae against Ramsey, and that's one of the best versus one of the best. So some people will argue the best in the business versus the best in the business. So
and you can't forget, like I said, you got Aaron Donald up front, and that's very important in this matchup. No David Bakhtiari, you're not going to see a best of the best right there. And in that regard, you're going to see a team effort to stop one guy. Look for Aaron Donald to get double teamed all game. And I do see him as being a true playmaker in this game. If he can get to Aaron Rodgers, and especially on third down, yeah, look out.
Yeah. I was looking at stats on Leonard Floyd, and I'm like, how is this guy not a first-team all-pro?
Because that's what Aaron Donald does with these players. Like, he makes them better because he's the one that's taking the attention. A lot of these guys have to win their one-on-ones. And when you got guys like Brockers and Donald that can eat up the blocks, you got guys like Leonard Floyd who's just been waiting for an opportunity like this to break out. You know, it's very important to notify the other team when the Rams are in town, because the quarterback is going to hit the ground a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, I'm going to move on now. We're going to go back to the AFC. The Browns are visiting Kansas City. One time these guys, Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield, had a big college matchup. I think like each team scored over 50 points. I think Mahomes had like 88 pass attempts that game. It was crazy. The Browns are big underdog, 10 point underdog. I personally think that's a little too high. If you were to bet 100 just on the money line for the Browns, you'd win 500. If you were, you'd have to bet 500 on the Chiefs just to win 100 on the money line. So that's interesting. Over under's 57. You know the Chiefs are going to score. At least you think they would. You know the Browns, they can score as well. So this is probably going to be, this is most likely going to be the highest scoring game of them all. If I had to take a bet on which game would be the highest scoring, I'd definitely choose this one. But, you know, the Chiefs defense, they're not like, you know, they're not really a team you can sneeze at either defensively. They haven't played the worst on defense. They've had games where they didn't really give up a whole lot. Like, they only gave up 14 to Atlanta. They gave up 16 to Denver. I mean, yeah, they've given up 30-31 to a few teams like Vegas and Carolina. They gave up 29 to New Orleans, but... You know, earlier in the year, they gave up like 20 points to some good teams like Baltimore, Los Angeles Chargers, and the Houston Texans. They only gave up 17 to Buffalo, but Buffalo is much more improved now than they were then. But yeah, the Chiefs are vulnerable. The Chiefs are very vulnerable. They almost lost to Vegas. They almost lost to Atlanta. They almost lost to New Orleans. Miami had a one possession game against them. Denver. So, I mean, I feel like the Browns, I think they're probably being a little too disrespected. That's why I hate the 10-point spread. But I feel like, you know, the Chiefs will start to turn it up a little bit more now that it's playoff time. And I think the Chiefs will do just enough to win this game. And, I think they're going to win next week, no matter who they play. And I think they're going to still win the Super Bowl. I'm going to keep them as my Super Bowl prediction for the next few years. It's going to be Chiefs or the field, in my opinion, when it comes to picking them to win the championship. But I'm going to go with the Chiefs in this one, and I got this game going over, so I got to pick a little high scoring here. I think the Chiefs are going to put up 40 this week. I'm going to go 40-27. I'm going to go 40-27 Chiefs. Davian.
Alrighty, so. This is a matchup I find very interesting. I'm gonna go ahead and pull up the injury report here because I want to make sure I'm very clear about this. Let's see. Mm-hmm. All right. Doesn't look like. Okay.
A lot of guys are questionable. I know Cleveland had some offensive line injury issues. I think Jack Conklin got hurt last week, didn't he?
Yeah, and so what I'm going to say here is the offensive line of the Browns obviously has, you know, a couple worries going into this game. And they come by two names, okay? It's Chris Jones and Frank Clark. Frank Clark is extremely forgotten when it comes down to pass rushers and especially impact pass rushers. We know what he's capable of. You know, he definitely is an impact player. Although his stats may not show it all the time and you may not see him being talked about on ESPN, Frank Clark is definitely a name just to remember when we watch this game. On top of that, I would like to say we need to put a little bit of respect on the Browns' defense. Let's not forget that Denzel Ward is one of the faster corners in the league, and I do believe he's going to have his hands full with a guy like Tyreek Hill. However, it was not too long ago that we were talking about him being an all-pro, all right? And on top of that, you know, you do have guys like Myles Garrett who are just capable of just dominating an offensive line and creating havoc in the backfield. I honestly think that Mahomes has it in for him again, you know, and if they watched any film from the Miami game, you know, it is just showing how you can stop a guy like Patrick Mahomes, at least good enough to where you can at least have a chance at the game. That offense that Kansas City has is pretty, it's elite, you know, it's very, very elite. You got guys in all skill positions, from the quarterback to the running back to the tight end to the wide receiver, you know, to the offensive line. You got an all-pro right there. And then even in special teams, you got a great kicker in Harrison Butker who can win you a game with his leg. So, I mean, it's hard to go against the Chiefs. I'm not going to be an upset special type guy, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns found a way to win. You know, I feel like they have a lot to prove. You know, I feel like they're excited to be in the playoffs. Maybe their playoff inexperience does kind of, you know, show in this game. You're probably going to see, like, you know, a lot of bad clock management calls. You're probably going to see a lot of penalties and maybe a little bit of, you know, a little bit of non-awareness plays, like, you know. So with that being said, of course, I'm going to go with the favorite pick here, Kansas City. It would be great to hope that there would be an upset special. I don't think the Browns have enough to beat the Kansas City Chiefs right now. And as crazy as that might sound, I just feel as if, you know, they're probably a year away from, you know, talking about contending. But I do think this is going to be an exciting game. I do see a game in which it could be high scoring, but I'm going to call a little short of 40. I'm going to say 28-20. And I do think that Mahomes is going to have a put away drive there in the end to seal the game and not give Baker Mayfield a chance. And that's my game for you. It's if the Browns defense can play up to par, they can at least make it something. But ultimately, Kansas City's offense and then their bend but don't break defense is just going to put them back in the AFC Championship game.
All right. Yeah, I just want to allude to Jack Conklin. He hasn't participated in practice. Wyatt Teller and J.C. Chetter have had limited participation. So, you know, if you're missing a couple of those guys, then, you know, guys like Frank Clark and Chris Jones will be able to feed off of that.
Exactly.
And then, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire for the Chiefs, you know, he might be in trouble with not playing this week, but I feel like they don't really need him for this game.
Yeah, they definitely want to use a lot of, you know, phases of the game to win this game, but I don't think that it will bother them too much.
Yeah. And then you got DeMarcus Robinson. He's fully participated in practice, but Sammy Watkins hasn't. Carwin.
Yeah. Chiefs are still the reigning Super Bowl champs. Not going to bet against them or Mahomes. They're just way too talented offensively. But with that being said, I definitely don't expect them to just steamroll over the Browns. If you just look at the Chiefs' last maybe 6 or 7 games, it's not like, you know, they just completely defeated team out of a chance of coming back, except that I can think of maybe back to the Broncos and the Jets. But other than that, the Chiefs tend to keep games relatively close when they play. And the Browns definitely have the firepower and, you know, the respectable defense to stay within that game. They have a really good running game, not the best in the league, between Chubb and Hunt. Might be the best running back duo. Mayfield is well improved based off of how you compare how he did last year. The coaching has definitely mattered tremendously for the Browns this year with Stefanski. They finally found an identity to where they're going to run the ball and play action over that. And Mayfield has just seemed to have grown a lot more with committing less turnovers. Even without Odell, he's throwing it to Donovan Peoples-Jones, Rashard Higgins, Austin Hooper, and Jarvis Landry has been a very reliable target for him. So I think the Browns have definitely gained a lot more respect from people recently this year. They upset the Steelers, and they're coming in here with the utmost confidence and momentum that they have a good shot at beating the Chiefs, and I can definitely see it being a high-scoring game with any game that the Chiefs play, just because of how good Mahomes is, and the defense leaves a lot to be desired, but they can create a turnover from time to time. And I got this game, got the Chiefs winning this game, but not by a landslide by any means. I think they're going to, I think it's going to be 31-27 Chiefs.
All right. 31-27. Okay. Okay. Good call. Yeah, I'm just worried because I have the Chiefs covering a 10-point spread, and then also I have them going over, so I'm kind of worried about that. It just seems like it's next to impossible of that happening. All right, and then the last matchup, I think Davian, I think you're looking forward to this matchup more than any matchup this weekend.
Boy,
it's the Saints and the Buccaneers. Tom Brady, former Patriots quarterback. Davian's a Patriots fan, and you know, that kind of, I could tell in fantasy when he had Gronk and Brady on his team. I know he's a big Brady fan. Saints have won both of the games that they've played against the Buccaneers. Final scores of 34-23 and 38-3. I believe that was the second score, 38-3. Yeah. Someone help me out.
What's your
here.
Question?
The Saints and Bucks. That was the score of the second game, right? Yeah, 38-3. Okay, I was right. So yeah, that Sunday night game was really weird. I couldn't even tell you what happened with that game. But you know, that's something you just have to throw away in the past, and you just gotta focus on the most important matchup out of the three. I know, injury concerns go for the skill position players on offense for the Buccaneers, which includes Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, who both played last week, but they both played injured. Forgot what Evans' injury is, but I know Godwin's had a finger problem. What did Mike Evans have? He had a hammy issue?
Yeah, I think so.
When?
I think he has a
hammy issue. Right now?
Hammy issue.
Said it was something to do with his knee, and he said like he hyperextended it.
Okay, yeah, it was a knee injury. But I think Mike Evans did have like a hammy injury not too long ago. Nonetheless, I still had the Saints winning this game. They're a 3-point favorite. Over-under is 52. He was 51.5 earlier. Anyway, I have the Saints pulling this game. I think Kamara is going to have a good game. And then Michael Thomas is back. I don't think he played in... But he played in the first game against them. I don't think he played in the second game, though. Or is that his first game back this week? I think that was his first game back from injury. Anyway, Saints, they've been rolling a little bit. I mean, they dropped two in a row to the Eagles and Chiefs not too long ago. But
ever since then. They put up 52, they put up 33, they put up 21. But Tampa Bay, they've been riding a hot streak too, and their offense is clicking at the right time. They put up 31 against a pretty good Washington football team defense. It's impressive. Yeah, I know they're not the best defenses, but you still put up 44 and 47 against, you know, NFL teams, you know, against the Detroit Lions and the Atlanta Falcons. You know, it's not like, you know, teams are guaranteed to score 40 every week. So it seems like Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense is starting to click at a good time. And I think this game will be closer than the previous two games. But I'm going to go with the Saints here. I'm going to go with the Saints on this one. I'm going to go 30. I'm going to go 30 to 24. Yeah, I'm going to go 30 to 24, Saints. Davian?
Alrighty, so this is one of my most exciting games to talk about. Reason being, let's talk about the matchups. That's always where I start, right? You know, I always talk about the key matchup in the game. And this time, it's not going to be defensive player versus offensive player. It's going to be offensive player versus offensive player. Which quarterback can get their offense rolling? We got two good offenses here. And for those who may say, oh, Tampa Bay's offense is better, they have more weapons, let's consider Drew Brees and the Saints' offense. You got Alvin Kamara, who's running like the best running back in the league right now. You also got Michael Thomas, who's an all-pro wide receiver. It was just last year where we were talking about best in the league. And on top of that, you have an offensive line that does not let anyone get to Drew Brees at all. Alrighty, so with that being said, on top of having a Hall of Fame quarterback, you know, I feel as if you are able to open up the game a lot more than you think. And this is one of the better defenses Drew Brees has played with as well. His team's defense has been very good moving into the postseason. And, you know, it's been relatively impressive. You know, first couple months of the season, they weren't really doing much, you know, and probably about average, below average in the league. And next thing you know, coming near the postseason, midseason, postseason, they just start turning up and start locking up some good teams. And with that being said, I just want to put some respect on guys like Drew Brees and Tom Brady. Drew Brees may be playing in his last game, but for those people who were disrespecting guys like Tom Brady early on this season, oh, he's old, he's washed, you know, like, oh, Tampa Bay, he's a system quarterback. I want to put those to rest on this podcast today. I want to put that to rest. We clearly see that Tom Brady, no matter where he plays, is a great quarterback. Okay, he has some errant throws. So does any quarterback. You know, not every quarterback's going to throw it on a line. People do make bad decisions. His last two games against the Saints, he's thrown 5 picks in total, 3 in one game, 2 in the other game. Now, does that make Tom Brady a terrible quarterback? No, that just means that the other team outplayed him. You know, greats get outplayed all the time. And I just want to say, for a guy that's thrown 4,600 yards, 40 touchdowns at 43 years old, please tell me who else is doing that in the league currently and that has more gas in the tank to play in the years to come. No one. We're talking about the greatest quarterback to play the game currently. Alrighty? So with that being said, I just want some people to put some respect on Tom Brady's name. Now to go into the analytics of the game, I want to say that let's talk about the Bucs defense. The Bucs defense to me is so unpredictable. And it's terrible. Like, you know, it's terrible to say, but like, they're so unpredictable and yet they have so much talent. All they need to do is make it gel in this game. And the one thing I will say is this year they've been doing well in the run game. I think they're top 5 in the run game, shutting down the run, probably averaging somewhere around 3.5 yards a carry to opposing running backs, which is really good. And on top of that, I would just like to say they're one of the most blitzing teams in the league. So when Drew Brees comes under center or is in the gun, just know the bad guys are coming. You got guys like Devin White and Levante David, which made that team go up to about, I think, number 4 in sacks this year. So with that being said, just look out for those guys because those will be your game changers, how quickly those inside backers can get to the backfield and cause some problems for Drew Brees. And that's that goes with the O-line comment I made earlier about the Saints. Their offensive line is real gritty and tough. They're not going to let anyone touch their quarterback. So it's definitely going to be very interesting watching these two teams go at it. You got a very good blitzing team going against a really good pass pro team and run pro team. So with that being said, how can they stop the run? Because they're top five in stopping the run against one of the better backs in the league, who's averaging almost a touchdown a game. And also, how can you get to the quarterback against one of the better O-lines in the game? And then on top of that, that you know, with a little cherry on top, you got two of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play in the game. You know, one with six rings, one with the stats to show that he's the greatest. You know, like, you have two of the best playing at it. And offensive-wise, I think Antonio Brown for the Bucs, along with the Bucs' running game, will be the X-factors for them to win that game. How well Antonio Brown plays, if they can get him the rock, how well that their running backs play, if they can extend the drives and move the chains for him, that would be extremely important, because the Bucs have not ran the ball a lot this year. Their running backs have ran well. Ronald Jones, you know, almost approaching 1,000 yards, averaging over about five yards a carry, you know, and Leonard Fournette coming off a really good game, showing that he could be the lead back last week. So they definitely have a lot of pieces to become, you know, the contender here for this year for the NFC. And then looking at the Saints, if Alvin Kamara can have a breakout game this week, I think all bets are off for anyone else that's approaching or wants to win the Super Bowl this year, because Drew Brees is going to walk off into the sunset with the ring if Alvin Kamara can really tote the rock and take a lot of pressure off that offense. So looking forward to it. I do want to see both these quarterbacks play a great game. I also think that Antonio Brown and the Bucs' run game is what's going to bring them over the top. However, if the Saints' pass game and their run, their pass protection and their run game can be doing what they have been doing all season long, I feel like, you know, they can win that game as well. However, I got the Bucs winning 35-31. I do see this being a game-winning drive for Tom Brady and the Bucs, and Drew Brees retires without having another chance to get a ring with one of the best teams he's played with in his career.
All right. I like it, Dave.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be one of the more unpredictable matchups I feel like we're going to see, just because of how the games have turned out earlier in the year, and they just don't always translate when they play each other for a rematch. Even though the Saints have had the numbers so far this year, Tampa could have a scheme to counter what they've been doing and just completely blindside them and have a much higher offensive output. You look at Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore. Marshawn Lattimore has had Mike Evans' number for a number of years in that division. Obviously, before, was playing with Jameis Winston, so that's obviously going to be a factor in there. And you see, you know, when you compare Jameis Winston and Tom Brady in those two offenses, Tom Brady was a substantial increase. And that, you know, he's shown that just because you have the weapons, you still have to be able to get the most out of it. He's getting way more out of it than Jameis Winston was. So he's shown that it was a dramatic improvement for that football team, that organization as a whole. And even if Marshawn Lattimore kind of locks down, continues to have Mike Evans' number, they brought in Antonio Brown. This would be his time to shine. When they played last time and they lost, that was Antonio Brown's first game getting acclimated in the offense. They've gotten way more comfortable, gotten more chemistry. He may not still get that kind of game that he had against Atlanta that one week. Consistently 11 catches, 133 yards, 2 touchdowns, but he can still give you what he gave you against Washington. 3 big plays that had big meaning to the game. And even though Chris Godwin struggled with drops in his first playoff game, he's still a very good receiver when healthy. He was one of the best receivers in the league, no, just a year before. They have a good running game, and Ronald Jones, I know Bruce Arians always talks about when to get him established, and he had made that a priority before they played last week, but he had some kind of quad injury beforehand. So, what do you do? You know, throw in Leonard Fournette, who's also a really good running back. So they're just, you know, loaded all over offensively. Their defense it tends to come and go sometimes. They're way better on the run than they are against the pad. And they're definitely going to have to step up again. Yeah, potent New Orleans offense that Sean Payton has game planned. He's just a really good offensive-minded coach. It seems like, you know, you throw in there Drew Brees or Taysom or Jameis, he's got a plan for you to succeed. And, you know, they got there Kamara, Thomas, Latavius Murray's still, to me, a starting caliber-type running back who's playing a backup role. So even if you give it to him, he can throw the rock. And I just think it's going to be a really good game, ultimately. I wouldn't be surprised with whoever wins, because they're just both that good a team. But personally, I think I'm going to go with the Saints this one, but I don't think they're going to have their way as easy as they did last time. I think after that bye week that the Bucs had, they've come together a lot better and their chemistry has improved. And you know, Brady just playing at a much, much higher level. And we're going to see them really give the Saints a run for the money with this win. It's going to be, I'll give it a 26-27 Saints.
All right. Awesome. How do you guys feel about Urban Meyer? I don't really know much about him besides him being like Ohio State's coach for a few years. How do you guys feel about Urban Meyer being the Jaguars' new head coach?
I'm not too familiar with this pick. I would have to do more research. However, I'm a little skeptical about the Jaguars' future for the next 2 years. Reason being, you know, it's definitely not a coaching problem. They just lack the talent necessary, you know, to be a contender, especially in that division where you got the Colts. The Texans had a down year, but the Titans and the Colts are definitely competing it out. So I don't think that, you know, I do understand, you know, starting over, you know, rebuilding a team, starting from the ground up, you know, starts with the head coach. He's going to build his image. But just understand that, you know, things like that take time. We're not like the Jaguars. They compete, but after just blowing up their team the way they did, similar to like, you know, what the Texans did with their team. It's hard being a Jaguars fan right now. You know, it's hard to have any confidence that one person's gonna be the huge change, because that's not always the case. Like, but you could see something like when Frank Reich came with the Colts. You know, he just did with the talent he had, and he was able to create you know, a team that could be a
Oh, I Dave, thought it was only me.
Davian? I think we may have lost Davian for a second.
Yeah, I can't hear him either. Can you hear him now?
Go ahead. What about go ahead, Carl. What do you think?
Yeah, well.
Wow.
What was that? Did you hear that?
Yeah, so that's just a
notification. Yeah, ultimately, it remains to be seen. He's had good success at Ohio State. How that's going to translate over to the pros, who knows? I mean, at the end of the day, if you're a good football mind and you got the talent that you need, then you should be able to execute it. But with that being said, with the lack of talent, that's gonna shift the direction towards management. I mean, what is management going to do with these draft picks? Who are they going to get in free agency? A lot of that's going to determine how this organization is going to look and what kind of future they're going to have. They're going to take Trevor Lawrence, Fields, you're going to need your franchise quarterback first and foremost. You need that piece and then be able to build around that piece. So they need to make sure they get their franchise quarterback, choose smart and wisely with these two first round picks and these two second round picks that they have, and try to bring together all the right pieces that they need to support that piece that's going to ultimately be able to take them far in the championship. And they have some bright spots in that offense currently with Robinson, who was a surprise and probably fantasy football acquisition of the year from the waiver wire. DJ Chark, he's a really good talent who who's kind of have yet to fulfill. He's sometimes in and out of the lineup with injuries. LSU product. Yeah, he's quick. So he's a good receiver. Got a good running back. Probably need to draft some more skills position players. Keelan Cole. He's good. I mean, he's all right. He's not somebody that you want to rely on as your number one. Shark, I think he has number one upside. And yeah, it's just going to ultimately come down to the top. Are you guys going to do, guys going to be able to build the organization correctly?
Dave, I want to let you.
Oh yeah, no problem. Sorry about that. I was just gonna say what Carwin said. You know, it's rebuilding time. So, you know, when it comes down to it, just making sure you make the right selections in the draft. And you know, unlike what a lot of people may say, I am just not a big believer in it's the quarterback. New head coach, new quarterback's a must because. I don't mind Gardner Minshew. You know, I don't think it's his fault that the team isn't very well-rounded. He kind of reminds me of an Alex Smith type of quarterback, you know, game manager type, kind of like, you know, decent arm strength, nothing crazy. So I don't think he's a bad guy. He's young enough to where he can learn a new system and be successful. I think that they use that draft pick and maybe make another selection on the defense and just revamp that defense up. You know, you got the young guys back there, Josh Allen at the defensive end spot. You got C.J. Henderson, your last year's first-round pick. You have Miles Jack, who's, you know, of course, like a good talent. You know, maybe finding something over there on the defensive side of the ball to just help you out. And, you know, back-to-back defensive picks wouldn't be a bad way to, you know, start a franchise over because the offense will come eventually, but the defense is what you need to build around.
All right. Yeah, I regardless of who their head coach is,
we lost Carl.
I still think they're going to finish fourth place in the division. Oh, did we?
I know, right?
It's a good thing we're getting to the end of the show then, right? All the technical, used to have these difficulties all the time. I've gotten better with them now. Had a better Wi-Fi connection. Hopefully we can get Carwin back just so I can close this.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, Carwin.
Always nice to be over here.
Alright guys, I think I'm gonna wrap this up. I'm gonna ask one more question. So Kareem Hunt in a video, he said next week it's personal. I kinda don't like how he said it was personal, as if it was the Chiefs' fault that he got released by them a couple years ago. I mean, with his actions, you know, I don't think any team would have kept him.
And I feel like you can't really say that because if that be the case, then Tyreek Hill should not be on the team as well, you know. And with that being said, the Chiefs obviously saw Tyreek Hill as more valuable of an asset that they cannot lose, you know, because he's basically the face of their franchise and, you know, a true NFL talent. And then any team would be lucky to have him. They basically saw Hill as replaceable. So when he says Hunt as replaceable. So when he says it's personal, I think that, you know, let's play football. Let's get bloody on the field because, you know, I want to see the competitiveness. And, you know, if the Browns were to win, you know, especially with Kareem Hunt leading in the stat line, it definitely would show them that he was no one to replace because he is a very good back. We know this. And, you know, if he could be a starter anywhere else and be just as successful. So it's very exciting having that competitive feature to it. And also, you know, the Browns are playing a couple guys down. OBJ, their offensive line's in shambles, you know, so who knows, you know, what they'll be able to do against the Chiefs next week. But let's say, for example, they were to pull it out, you know, it'd be the biggest upset right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What do you think, Carwin, of Kareem Hunt?
I mean, it's the playoffs. When you're in the playoffs, you use any motivation you can to give you some extra juice. At the end of the day, like you said, I mean, it was his fault. I think the difference with the Hunt and Hill situation is whenever there's video footage, the outcome it just seems always be looked at differently. I mean, you can even go back to the Ray Rice situation. So I think yes. if it was just an allegation that he said, she said, they probably wouldn't have gotten rid of him. But because you could just literally see what happened, they probably felt compelled that they had no other choice but to get rid of him. And even after the fact that he did it, he sounded remorseful and took responsibility for it and apologized. So I'm not kind of saying now he's taking a personal. I mean, you kind of forget what you said when it happened. But like I said, either way, it's a playoff. So once you use that extra juice, and whenever people play a team that they used to play for, they really want to stick it to them and show them what they're missing. So. Yeah.
All right. See, I wish I can come up with some of these questions like while we actually talk about the game, because I wanted to get opinions on Chase Claypool. Have you heard Chase Claypool?
Not necessarily. I've seen some of his comments. He's just going through the young man's mindset. Especially the fact that he's been typically pretty successful in his rookie season, and then having guys like personalities like Juju Smith-Schuster on the team, like you're gonna see that that kind of youthfulness action, like it just shows his age and the maturity he's gonna need moving forward, because the whole social media banter back and forth is not necessary.
Yeah, like he just called the Browns like classless in their win, as if the Steelers' offensive skill position players haven't been classless all year long. Like, because you got Juju dancing on other people's logos, you got Chase talking about losing, never heard of her after being 8-0 or something like that. LeBron James said the Browns are going somewhere. And Eric Ebron said, where are they going? And then you had it was one of the Steelers linebackers where they were like, this should be an easy win against the Ravens. It was the matchup that was supposed to be on Thanksgiving, and then it was a matchup that they barely won. They played against a practice squad Ravens team. So, the Steelers are just a bunch of arrogant players who I'm glad lost in the first round. Maybe they'll do a little bit less talking. Because, I was telling people, Steelers better be careful about all those drops they had. Because they had a lot of drops this year. Deontay Johnson led the league in drops this year. And, I was telling people, hey, if they keep dropping the ball like this, it's not going to go well for them. And then people were like, well, it's good enough for them to go 11-0. And, 11-0 is cute. 11-0 doesn't mean anything when you're playing the playoffs, And what happened? They went 1-5 in the last six games that they played, and it could have been 0-6, but Indianapolis collapsed. So yeah, that's just my final take on Chase Claypool. He's calling the Browns classless. If anybody's classless, it's you, Chase Claypool. Keep talking about how the Browns are going to get clapped next week. Even if they do get clapped, and even if they do lose, at least they made it there, They beat y'all at the most important time, and you guys couldn't capitalize. You guys couldn't get,
But isn't that the fun of watching divisional rivals go against each other? I miss those times in the NBA. Just to kind of relate the point to all sports, I kind of miss those competitive times in the NBA where people, kind of showed that savagery amongst each other. Like, they weren't all friends talking it up after game. Yeah, they all people, they have lives. But I definitely want to see that spirit that makes the game worth watching. Who doesn't remember those Ravens-Patriots, showdowns? You know what I'm saying? Where you got Ray Lewis on one end, Terrell Suggs, the one in versus Tom Brady and company. You know, like who doesn't miss those guys getting each other's faces and playing like a tough game? That's what makes the game worth watching, you know. And guys that show that type of enthusiasm, similar to like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and Richard Sherman, like, you know, those guys are the guys you need in the league because they make the league understand that, you know, we're not friends when we're on the field. You know what I'm saying? We're not friends at all. You know, we're here to win, we're here to do business, and we're here to, you know, play a game that we all love. So that's my take on that. I absolutely love the competitive nature. And when you know, speaking of classlessness, you know, being a crybaby about losing a game is completely intolerable. You know, just rub some dirt in it, get back at it next season, and then do exactly what they did to you to them, you know? So.
Yeah. Kind of like how the Ravens, you know, they walked on the Titans logo after that, what ended up being the game-sealing interception. I loved it. I wouldn't have loved it if the Titans didn't step on our logo earlier this year. But I'm glad the Ravens did what they did at the tail end of that game against the Titans. So. Yeah, I mean, I do like the competitiveness. I think part of it is just because I can't stand the Steelers, and like they just couldn't back up all that talk. So it was something that was kind of coming for them. Like if this is like the Seahawks and like the 49ers, I probably wouldn't really care. I'd probably enjoy
it. I mean, the Seahawks got their share of bashfulness too. Ramsey and the Rams definitely made it clear that, you know, they're not one to be underestimated, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. For sure. All right. Any last minute thing, Carwin?
Oh, no, I'm good. Pretty much brought everything up.
No, that was a great discussion we had, boys.
All right. Thank you. Maybe we can all get together again next week for the conference championship.
That sounds like a plan.
All right.
All right, boys. Have a great one. Stay safe out there.
Till next time. Bye.
All right.